You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 457 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, January 29th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode. And of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network with team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We've got Locked On Fantasy Basketball going strong with Josh Lloyd, and Locked On NBA with a bunch of different hosts from across the network chipping in to make that a daily show. We've got David Locke hosting it on Thursdays. We've got John Corrales and Jake Madison, the hosts of Locked On Celtics and Locked On Pelicans, hosting, I believe, on Wednesdays. You're probably going to want to listen to that one, considering the news that I suppose happened on Monday. Lots of good stuff on the network for you to check out. If you find a show on the network that you want to support, please subscribe, rate, and review. It's the best way to support all the shows and show that you care and make us more visible in the rankings and all that good stuff. So thank you in advance for taking the small amount of time it requires to do that. And also a reminder, if you have a smart speaker, if you got one for the holidays, or you just got one, you know, before that, or you've had one for a long time but you've never used it for this function, you can play the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speaker. Just say, hey Alexa, or hey Google Home, play podcast Locked On Raptors, or Locked On Pelicans, or Locked On Blazers, or whatever it is, and your smart speaker will just start playing your podcast. It's fantastic. You never have to press a button. Just play it while you're doing your chores. It's very, very handy. So make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speakers. All right, on today's show, we're going to do something we were supposed to do on Monday, but then got carried away talking about Anthony Davis trade possibilities. So to join me to talk about the Houston game from Friday and the Dallas game from Sunday, I guess, sort of just as like a whole, and we'll have some takeaways from both games together, it's our pal Josh Howe. How's it going, man?
Going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's, you know, it's snowy, it's cold, but it's fine. The winter's not the worst. People will get really upset about it, but it means we get trade rumors and all that fun stuff, and I get to huddle inside and watch basketball and not have any outdoor responsibilities, which is cool. By the way, I guess we should...
It's cozy.
It is. It's certainly cozy. I guess we should say this before we get into the meat of the podcast here. Next Tuesday, you may have heard I'm doing a live podcast from Odds Bar in Hamilton, 164 James Street South, right across the street from the GO bus terminal if you want to come from out of town. It's very easy to get to, and it's a very good bar with good food. Doing a live Locked On Raptors there at 7 o'clock before the Raptors take on the Philadelphia 76ers. For one segment, I'll be joined by my co-host on Hamilton is Hoops on TSN 1150, Katrina Squazin. We're going to do a little Q&A. And also joining me, at least I think, maybe I'm putting him on the spot here and he's changed his mind, I don't know, is going to be Josh. Josh, can I confirm your appearance at the live podcast on Tuesday?
I want to say yes. It's still a tentative yes. I'm okay. Doing everything in my power to make sure it happens.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm doing everything I can to get there. So it would be awesome. I've never done a live podcast before. So I really, really want to see, you know, just what that feeling's like. I'm sure you've done, you know, all the stuff with radio. You're used to it. But I'd love to just see what that vibe is like and, you know, do it with some great food and some great people and watch a Raptors game.
Yeah, and we can make fun of Ben Simmons not shooting threes. It'll be a whole grand time. So Josh is going to try to make his way there. If he doesn't, I'll still be there. Katrina will still be there. We'll still be hanging out, watching the game afterwards, having a couple of beverages, I'm sure. It'll be a good old time. The last one was pretty fun, and hopefully we can get a few more people up for this one. So Odds Bar, Hamilton, Ontario, 164 James Street South, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock before the Raptors take on the Sixers. Okay, let's get to the bones of the podcast. The Raptors took on the Rockets and Mavs in Texas over the weekend. Lost to the Rockets 121-119 in a game that I still have not caught the entirety of. I've caught the main important bits. And really, this game is kind of just about those important bits. They were pretty bad for the first bit of the game. I saw the first quarter in my hotel room during my little northern winter getaway that I was at over the weekend. And then from there, it was, you know, the Raptors kind of clawed back, I suppose. They won every quarter except for the first quarter, but they were kind of down by a lot at different points of the game, down by like 19 in the final five or so minutes, down by 11 with a minute and a half left or something crazy like that. Hit a bunch of threes, had a chance to tie or win at the buzzer, and Kawhi Leonard gets shut down by noted very good defender, apparently James Harden, on that final play when they get the switch off of PJ Tucker with the Norm Powell screen. Let's start with the Houston game, I suppose, and we can turn that into the Dallas game. Did you have a big takeaway from that Rockets game, Josh, that you came away thinking about?
Yeah, can we stop using the full bench lineups? like, there's been like no point at this season where that's gone really well, and especially with Valanciunas out, you know, kind of stuck. Nurse is stuck putting Monroe out there, and just hasn't been working. You know, Monroe's he's good at what he does, but having him play that many minutes and that much consistently, it's been a little tough, especially for that group. DeLon Wright, notably, we're going to talk about that a bit more, I guess, for sure. But I mean, he didn't play; it was a coach's decision. He could have played; he was healthy. But you know, you put that lineup out there without a guy like DeLon Wright, and you have even less playmaking. You have Fred VanVleet initiating even more than usual, which is not great, as we've seen this season. You know, CJ Miles, he was kind of on the uptick a bit there, but he had a rough game here, and Norm played okay, but again, like, we really got to stop with the full bench unit.
I would definitely agree with that sentiment. I've been kind of championing the idea of staggering a little bit, and we've seen Lowry and the bench be pretty good of late. So I don't know why we wouldn't, you know, see that more often. It's kind of infuriating, I guess, that especially in a night where DeLon Wright doesn't play, how you could kind of go and still have those full bench units. The Greg Monroe stuff, oh boy, the news came out today that Valanciunas practiced. He's clear for contact. He's probably pretty close to a return. I would guess probably not on Thursday against Milwaukee, but maybe we'll see it over the weekend, whether against the Clippers, a team he's historically been very good against, or against the Sixers on Tuesday, which is a team that you'd like to have him against because he's always been kind of a nice foil for Joel Embiid in a way that Serge Ibaka just is not physically equipped to be. But the Greg Monroe minutes, man. I wonder why Nurse keeps going to these like little first half experiments where he'll play, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes and it's like it doesn't work and then he just kind of goes away from it. Like, why not just cut that little experiment out of the way? We kind of know what's going to happen with Greg Monroe at this point. Why not just play Pascal Siakam at center? And like, yes, it's maybe not ideal all the time, but it's not like the Rockets are throwing out like noted huge centers at all times, right? Like, they played Nene for 7 minutes in that game on Friday, and then Kenneth Faried played 38 minutes. That dude's like 6'5". Like, you could deal with Pascal Siakam playing center in that game. And like I said, I didn't see the full flow of the second and third quarter, so I can't speak to what lineups were really tried out there for long stretches of time. But just in general, the Greg Monroe stuff, like, it's kind of gotten to the end, and I'm very much looking forward to the return of Jonas Valanciunas so we can just relegate Greg Monroe back to bench celebration guru, which is what he's good for. He's a great guy to have on the bench. He's got nice eyes, drinking water, always being hydrated. That's what Greg Monroe is here for. But yeah, the bench minutes, I'm very, very much over. I guess if we... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a little weird that we didn't get any Siakam at center lineups in this game, but we got OG at center.
Yeah.
start the fourth, like, it was a little strange that Nurse was like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this out there and see what happens. And, you know, predictably with Fareed on the floor, the rebounding was a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. OG, I don't mind OG at center sometimes. I think they tried it a couple times this year, and there's been, I guess, varying degrees of success with it. And he is, like, big, and he's rebounded better this season than he has in the past, but not the case in the game against the Rockets. But, yeah, the Siakam at center, I know some people are a little bit hesitant to use that. I know Blake Murphy has kind of been one of the champions kind of against that because of the lack of rebounding you have when you have him out there, and you're not really taking advantage of having size across all positions if you're scaling down like that. But I do think that look deserves a little bit more run here as we get close to the playoffs. It's going to be a look that's necessary against certain teams in the playoffs. So I don't see the harm in trying to run it out there a little bit more. I guess the other thing from this Rockets game is the late game execution. Of course, they run that play. Norm sets the screen pretty late for Kawhi to get the switch. They get James Harden onto Kawhi, which is like what I think you want. credit goes to James Harden, I think, for having a very strong defensive possession. Like, we always like to get hung up on guys just, you know, choking it away at the end of games, but I think James Harden deserves plenty of credit for the way he, you know, contained Kawhi there, even though there wasn't a lot of time on the clock, so maybe he was kind of working with a bit of an advantage that way. But, like, I don't know, did you have a problem with what happened at the end of that game? Is this becoming a problem that you're becoming sick of? What is your take on how the game finished and sort of the play calling and all that execution stuff?
I don't really have a problem with it. The Raptors have been up and down in the clutch this season. But, I mean, part of it is just saying, like, well, we have Kawhi Leonard. He's Kawhi Leonard. You know, you're going to let him take those shots at the end of the games. Like, that's what he's here for. That doesn't necessarily mean you don't try and get him the best available shot, which is maybe running something a little different. And there were even, you know, there were games earlier this season where they didn't even bother trying to get the switch off the screen. They just went and let him attack his own man. Mm-hmm. So I do like that, you know, they made a focus to get Harden, who's notably, you know, not been a great perimeter defender throughout his career, and tried to switch it off. I don't think Norm's screen was fantastic.
No.
He's not a great screener.
So none of the Raptors without Jonas are great screeners. It's a real problem. I mean, Ibaka's a good illegal screener, but in terms of legal screen setters, it's like Lowry's the best one right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like Lowry's the guy usually you have up there. If you have a smaller guy on him, he can go up and set that screen, try to get a switch that way. But like you said, credit goes to Harden, though. He ended up, he did get switched onto him, and he stayed lateral, and he got a hand up, and he stayed with Kawhi the whole way, and it's a little tough. Like, you don't always want to just see him taking contested jumpers, but he's also the superstar, and we'll see. I mean, it's interesting how up and down those plays have gone, and at the very end of games, when the rest of the time, after timeouts, the Raptors tend to score almost every single time. It's really fascinating. I don't think this means that Nurse is a bad play caller or a bad clutch play caller. I think he's just catering to his best player, which a lot of coaches do. So, you know, and that might be something that he has to, try some different things with if it continues to be a problem. But, I mean, Kawhi is also, like, one of the top clutch scorers in the league. So I really don't think it's as much of a problem as maybe some Raptors fans make it out to be.
Yeah, man. Like, late-game offense is never going to be as sophisticated or free-flowing as just it would be in the regular run of a game. Because, A, you want to limit the number of opportunities for the other team to capitalize on and make, a really good read or decision and capitalize on that and get the ball back. And also just, like, keeping the ball in your best player's hands is never, like, inherently a bad play call. It is what it is. And I know people get upset about the ISO stuff because I think of the past with the Raptors and maybe the DeMar DeRozan ISO stuff not quite working out so well, but, like, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard's much better than DeMar DeRozan at a lot of things, including going ISO and getting his own shot in the mid-range or from three or whatever it is, and so I don't have a problem with it. And it's not like there's, like, a correlation between being a very good ball movement team in crunch time and being successful, right? Like, the Raptors right now are number 10 in clutch net rating at plus 6.7 points for 100 possessions, 103.7 defensive rating, which I believe ranks them 11th. That's surprising. I thought they'd been much better defensively in crunch time. But either way, they're number 10 right now in clutch net rating and the third most minutes played by any team in the clutch. And their assist rate is 50% even. And there's not really any correlation between, like, high assist percentages and being very good in the clutch or anything like that. Like, Boston, for example, they're number 2 in clutch net rating right now. They have 131.2 offensive rating, and they have an assist rating of 40 or assist percentage of 48.8 because Kyrie Irving's just going to work and doing Kyrie Irving things a lot of the times in those situations. And guess what? It works. It hasn't quite worked, I think, in maybe those, like, sort of flashpoint moments for the Raptors, but I do think in general, in the late stages of games, they've been really good, and maybe they'll pull away with, like, a minute left in a game because of their clutch performance in those minutes, and then the last minute of the game isn't really qualified as clutch because it's not within 5 points because they've already gotten that out of the way. So I think the small sample of just, like, the few possessions where everyone's eyes are turning, all the league pass alert people are tuning in, and you're seeing that last possession, and things have gone awry a lot of the time, I don't think it really does justice the way the Raptors have played with games being close. They're 14-10 in close games right now. That's a better record than, you know, Boston or the Clippers, who are number four in net rating right now in the clutch. You know, it's better than like the Warriors and stuff like that. Like, they're not bad by any means. It's not amazing. They're not the Nuggets, who are 28-8 in clutch situations, or the Pacers, who are 15-7. But 14-10 is fine, especially when they're blitzing teams in a lot of other games as well. So that's kind of where I'm at on this. I don't think it's necessarily a thing that's to be all that concerned about. But yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts on this before we move on to the Dallas game?
Nothing too crazy. Kenneth Reed, man, he's making the most out of his new spot, which is cool to see.
Maybe the Raptors should trade for him at the deadline. all right, we're going to move into the Mavericks game in just a sec. But first, I want to remind people to check out the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's great. You follow one feed and you get all of the hosts from each of the NFL and NBA networks into one feed at Locked On NBA Net or at Locked On NFL Net. And all of the fresh podcasts, the live game tweets, the breaking news reactions, all the stuff, all the dumb jokes that I send out are being retweeted into those feeds. So, you know, again, you keep your follower count low. You just, you know, you just have the one feed there, putting all the names and the tweets that you want to see basketball-related from the Locked On Podcast Network hosts into one feed. And on Instagram, the exact same handles at Locked On NBA Net and at Locked On NFL Net. If you follow those, you're going to get little snippets of all the podcasts from the biggest stories of the day. There's a clip from Locked On Pelicans on there today if you check out at Locked On NBA Net. Jake Madison talking about the implications of it. And you can either listen to it and watch it and get the video and a little condensed take, or you can go and listen to the full podcast. It's a great way to liven up your Instagram feed, so make sure you're checking those two podcast feeds or two feeds. Make sure you just follow them on Instagram and Twitter. That's what I'm trying to say. At Locked On NBA Net and at Locked On NFL Net. All right, to the Mavericks game. And I guess we can kind of carry over a couple of the conversations from the Houston game into this one. First being the crunch time performance. They pulled this one out after a pretty rough third quarter. They scored 38 points in the fourth quarter. There were a few possessions where Kawhi Leonard just kind of took it to the Mavs. There was the one, I think, that kind of stands out where he just completely cooked Wes Matthews from the post. Kyle Lowry got a shot going. He was 5 of 10 from deep. He had 19 points. This was a good performance late in the game, and a good performance outside of the third quarter, really, for the Raptors start to finish. Any big takeaways from this one for you?
From the Raptors side of things, nothing too crazy. I think they really needed to win this one, so they didn't drop three in a row. I think maybe morale would have been a little low after that in that case. But no, they pulled it out. We got a flash of K-Lo. Came back in the fourth quarter. He had 8 points in the fourth and four assists.
Mm-hmm.
Shot really well. He hit 5 threes, which is encouraging. Shooting kind of, you know, coming back a little bit. It's been spotty here and there now, recently anyway, which is better than, you know, just flat out not there, which it's been for most of the season. So that was really nice to see. But yeah, like, I don't know. I can't, like, stop thinking about Luka Doncic when I think of this game.
Yep, he's ridiculous. I think it speaks to how insane Luka Doncic is that the Raptors went 17 of 34 from deep and still only won by three. Doncic even hit the three at the end of the game with it out of reach. That was like from like 35 feet. That was insane. Yeah, that dude's very good, and I wish he didn't have the corpse of Wes Matthews and Harrison Barnes and DeAndre Jordan. The trio of corpses, and then like the big wild card that is Dennis Smith flanking him. They've got the hardest part of team building figured out, I think. Doncic is going to be amazing. The rest of that team is very underwhelming, I think. Even Maxi Kleber, whatever the hell his name is, even he couldn't torch the Raptors in this one, which has typically been his bag. He's had like a couple five-block games, I think, against the Raptors in recent years. So once Doncic gets some good players around him, they're going to be really, really good. As far as the Raptors go, I thought this was maybe the game where Lowry and Leonard looked the most simpatico of the year. I mean, there's probably been a couple others, but this one, I think, because of how sort of janky it's been in recent, you know, even since like the start of December, not having both of them available, blah, 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 blah. I thought they both looked like they were pretty in tune, and the chemistry kind of looked like I thought it would between these two guys, because Lowry's a guy who should be good with anybody. One thing I've noticed too, or I've wanted to see more, and I think they ran it a little bit in that game, were some Leonard Lowry pick and rolls. Because Lowry's such a good screener, it kind of worked a little bit. I'd like to see it the other way around too, or maybe you sort of use Leonard as a roll man a little bit, or a guy who can pop out for three. I wonder if that could maybe be something the Raptors work into their playbook a little bit more often, because those two guys together should be pretty unguardable when you put them together in an action. But I thought in general they looked pretty good together. And then DeLon Wright. Let's get to DeLon Wright here. We didn't really talk about him when we were talking about the Rockets game, but 13 minutes for him after getting the DMP against the Rockets Friday. He had 9 points, one assist, one steal, one rebound, blah, 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 block. But he was 3 of 4 from deep, from the field, hit his 1-3, and just looked a little bit more spry than maybe we've seen him in recent weeks. What was your reaction to the DNP against the Rockets for Wright, and how did you think he responded, and sort of where do you think we'll see his role within the rotation go? Where do you want to see it go in the coming games here?
Yeah, the DNP against the Rockets was a little weird. The only reason I could think of was just because, you know, they have several wings that they can throw out there, and they've had a couple in Powell and Miles who have been playing pretty well recently after not playing well. And also in that game, like, they got down early, pretty quickly. Part of it was the bench, but, like, you know, having guys out there who can hit threes maybe help you get back in the game quicker. I don't know. Other than that, I'm not entirely sure why DeLon wasn't in there. I mean, he hasn't had the best season, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, there are still games where he makes an impact, even if it's not necessarily shown on the score sheet. So, honestly, as of right now, I mean, he showed his stuff against Dallas. I think he had kind of got a kick in the butt, and he was really, you know, had that mentality of coming out and saying, this is why I should be in the rotation. This is why I should be ahead of some of those guys. I think he should probably be ahead of Miles still in the rotation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Powell continues to be, like, kind of shocking, which is, like, how consistent he's been. So, like, I'm not really, I'm still kind of, like, figuring it out how I feel about, like, you know, give me, like, a month or two ago, and it was easy, right? DeLon ahead of Norman Powell, like, every single game. But now it's kind of more of a conversation. Yeah, but I mean, he should definitely be in the rotation going forward. I still think he's really important to have out there with those bench groups that need more playmaking, even though they should always have, like, you know, be staggering one of Kawhi or Siakam or Lowry anyway. But it's still nice to have him in there so that, you know, VanVleet has some of the load of initiating taken off of him. And even when, you know, when Valanciunas returns, you know, he had some plays run with the pick and roll. It worked much better with DeLon than it did with VanVleet. So I think, he has a role in the rotation and he should be getting it going forward. And maybe it was just kind of like an experiment, like Nurse has done with some other things. So, I fully expect him to be back in.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was less surprised than most people were. I don't hate the idea of keeping CJ Miles, you know, getting some regular run because he was playing pretty well. I do have, an issue with him just taking 2 shots in 9 minutes in that Rockets game. Like, if you're going to use him, use him. And if you're going to, you know, put DeLon on the bench at his expense, like, yeah, you should probably try to get Miles a little bit more involved. But, like, I don't know. Wright has not been particularly good this season. And yes, not all of it is his fault. A lot of it is he's not being put in the best position to succeed sometimes because Fred is kind of taking on the playmaking duties a little bit more often and DeLon's not getting that chance to do it. But, like, he's also just kind of been ineffectual in a lot of games, even when he's had the ball in his hands. And he's kind of just, like, drifted and not had, like, the same sort of night to night. You know, he's going to come in and do, like, 3 or 4 insanely awesome things. Just hasn't been as reliable this season, and I'm not sure where to put the blame and sort of how to balance it between his sort of strange role in those bench units that is not really sort of taking advantage of his skills and just him just not playing well. And so, I don't know. I did not see it as, like, all that much of a shock. I feel like it's kind of been coming for, like, a month at this point. And, you know, maybe it was a way for Nick Nurse to try to send him a message. I don't know if that's in his mind, but I also just think, like, there are going to be tough rotation decisions coming. I wrote about this last week. It's not going to be easy, and there are arguments you can make for each of Powell, Miles, and Wright to get regular run. And once Valanciunas is back, I would not be shocked if they pair this thing down to a 9-man rotation because of the lack of staggering we've seen so far this season, yet kind of the evidence that we have that says, like, staggering Lowry with the bench is always good. I do think there's a chance we could see this pared down to 9. And I think Powell at this point, the way he's played over the last month and a half or month or whatever it's been since he got back, I think he kind of has surpassed both Wright and Miles in terms of who's deserving of minutes. So for me, if I'm looking at bench units, like I think Fred, Powell, OG, Jonas are kind of the locks to play. And then if you start sprinkling in Siakam or Lowry or Kawhi with bench units, there kind of doesn't really become a need for a Wright or a Miles all that much. And I just think there are going to be nights, and I think this is especially going to happen in the playoffs, where those guys, both of them, are just not going to play because their skills are not necessarily in high demand. Because if you're playing Lowry, like, hey, that's your creation you need with the second unit. Same with Siakam or Leonard. You know, if you have Powell shooting the way he's shooting, that kind of replaces the need for Miles, and also Powell's a better defender. And the arguments for Miles, I think, are pretty compelling that he should be playing a little bit more as well, because, you know, if you're talking about a lack of creation, like, he brings very reliable shooting, in theory, not this season, you know, based on his numbers, but in theory and the way defenses think about him, he brings reliable shooting while also being a kind of sneaky, okay, off-the-bounce creator, right? Like, he's not anything special, but he can make a play, he can get to the rim and, you know, dump off to a guy or kick out. Like, this is not a thing he's not Patrick Patterson or Damari Carroll doing that, right? Like, he's a little bit more comfortable there. So I think there's an argument for Miles because of those skills that they might be more in high demand, and, you know, the shooting, you know, maybe he kind of slots into those units a little bit ahead of both Wright or Powell on some nights, but I don't know. It's weird with Wright. I love DeLon Wright. I love peak DeLon Wright maybe more than any player on the team, at least for, you know, just watching him. He's so delightful, but he has not been that same guy this year, and there's going to be a minutes crunch here. It's just going to come. They haven't been healthy all year. They haven't really had any chance or opportunity to hurt feelings at all because, you know, everyone's been hurt, and they've cycled in guys, and they've had 8 guys or 9 guys for every game, it seems, all season long. Yet, once they're healthy, knock on wood, hopefully nothing else happens, there's just going to be a minutes crunch. And I don't know, how do you sort of rank those three in terms of who should be receiving minutes? Or, you know, do you drop Fred even? Like, I don't know, how do you see it playing out? Do you think they should go to 9? Do you think they should stay at 11? Do you think they should just go with the hockey changes and have 10 like they did last year? Like, what do you think is the best course of action there?
I don't mind the larger rotations in the regular season, but I do think like the 9-man rotation is it's just a lot tighter. It's shown to work better in pretty much every game that they've used this season. Whenever Nurse has done that, the Raptors have been more successful, which obviously isn't surprising because you have your best players on the floor more, especially with the units that need more creation. In terms of those three, it's kind of weird, right? Because at the beginning of the season, like way back when it was just starting, I wrote something about Norman Powell and how, you know, he was still having a tough time. And it was kind of the hope from there was kind of that maybe, you know, with some of the injuries that were going on, he'd be able to get some play time and then play his way up to being able to get a trade. And then you could trade him at the deadline, mm-hmm. trade him at the deadline. The Raptors get out of his contract and then he gets a fresh start somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then he gets hurt and he comes back and suddenly he's like poised and making plays and, you know, not just hucking up bad shots, and he's been really, really good. So, and you know, and then out of nowhere CJ starts to hit some shots and you go, okay, now he's starting to look like the CJ we know. And DeLon's DeLon, we kind of know what we can get from him at his peak, like you said, but he's been up and down this season, so it's kind of a juggling act. I mean, right now I'd probably have Norm at the front of those three, which is mm-hmm. something I didn't think I would say. And and when you look at the deadline now, it's like, I mean, out of CJ and Norm, I mean, if Norm's going to continue to play this way, you're fine with having him around as a rotation guy. That's what you're paying him to be. And I'm not sure another team is that interested in Miles' contract. Mm. So that becomes an interesting scenario. And then, you know, obviously DeLon's headed for restricted free agency. So that's a whole thing. But yeah, I mean, I think eventually when it comes to the playoffs, they're definitely going to just tighten it up to the next rotation. And I think it probably just depends on which of those guys is playing the best at the time. And you kind of have a guy in the back burner to throw in if one of them, you know, starts to falter. And you could go about it that way. But yeah, I mean, in the regular season, I think it's good because I think you can get each of those guys some run and maybe, you know, they can all sort of get going, which has kind of been the case a little bit here. So that'd be nice anyway. And, you know, I guess you just have more options going in. It's better to have more options than less.
For sure. I mean, this doesn't matter anyway, because both Miles and Powell will have to play a lot once Anthony Davis is on the team, because I'm sure they'll have to use a lot of their depth on the wing to make that deal happen. But that will be seen in the next 9 days, I'm sure. I think that's about it for this show. Shouts to OG Anunoby, by the way. He's been named to the Rising Stars game. He's going to play on Team World from Great Britain. People forget he's from Great Britain. I forget all the time. You know, good old fish and chip bangers and mash eating fellow he is. I don't know. That's cool. I'm glad he's got the honor. It's really weird that Ben Simmons is on the team, even though he's in his 17th season or whatever it is. Yet he's still a rookie. So congrats to him for that. You mentioned on Twitter before coming on that the riot has been avoided and OG is going to get to play in the Rising Stars game. I'm glad that like he wasn't jilted and then you came on, because this might have just turned into another podcast in which we got derailed from the original plan and you just talk about OG Anunoby getting slighted for half an hour.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I have an unlit tiki torch just sitting right beside me. I have no use for it now. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It's just sitting here. So I guess I'll have to find something else to riot about.
What a damn shame. all right, I think that's going to do it. Josh, do you have anything you'd like to plug right now?
Not too much. I'm in school, actually. I just moved back to the city, and I'm taking sports journalism, which is taking up some of my time, but I'm doing a lot of cool things behind the scenes. I've started actually, you know, being a real journalist and not just somebody sitting in an armchair and yelling things at my TV. So that's been kind of cool. And I'm doing a lot of that kind of stuff. And you'll start to see more of it. It'll start to come out. I'm doing a lot of stuff with the 905. But I will definitely get back to writing soon. My podcast is also kind of on hiatus at the moment, but it is going to return. It's not dead, I promise. It will come back. I have some writers lined up that I want to get on there. So it's all there. I'm just a bit busy at the moment, but I'm going to be doing more stuff. And I'm definitely hopefully going to be at the live podcast as well.
Very excited for that. You can follow Josh at HowVolution on Twitter. You can follow me at Woodley Sean. You can subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcast. It's very helpful if you do that. We've got some nice and very informative reviews. Informative? It's informing you that people are nice about and like the show. That you should be joining those people. It's very, very heartwarming to see all that. I will be at the Bucks game on Thursday, so you can look out for hopefully a podcast with myself and Locked On Bucks host Eric Name, who is traveling with the team and will be in Toronto on Thursday. Hopefully we can meet up for a podcast after the game. I'm also going to have a podcast on Wednesday with Jordan Tresky of Behind the Bucks Pass. I always screw that up. He's been on the podcast before. We're going to talk about who the rightful number one seed should be at any time the Raptors and Bucks are tied, because it's very confusing. So we're going to lay out our arguments for who the tiebreaker should actually go to. Tee up that game on Thursday. It should be a good one. And we'll be back again tomorrow with that podcast with Jordan. Until then, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.